Hello and welcome again to the Neo Gamer podcast. It's Tuesday, December 11th, 2012. I'm John Callahan. Thank you for joining us this week. And with us as always is Larry and Tim. How are you guys doing today?
Good, good. How about you, Larry?
I'm doing good, Tim. Thanks for asking. And how are you doing, John?
I'm doing all right. It's been... you know, it's getting close to Christmas season, so the wife and I have been busy with buying presents and decorating the house and basically getting all festive. And then in a couple of weeks, we'll have to take it all down, so that's kind of
depressing. Yep, that was my past weekend as well, so I could feel your pain.
Yep, exactly. So, yeah, you may be noticing we're not doing this podcast live. We basically decided that most people listen to this podcast after it is broadcast live. However, Tim, our very able tech person, will be posting this podcast, should be posting the podcast, very soon after we record it. So it'll be almost kind of live with very little editing, hopefully. And so thank you again, Tim, for all of your work on the podcast. You've been terrific at handling the technical aspects of the podcast since we've been doing this.
No worries. And I believe that Brad Sands and I might be doing a tech podcast on Neowin sometime this week as well.
Excellent.
So more podcasts for Neowin, which is great.
Yeah,
yeah, very cool.
Super. Yeah, that'll be great. I think that'll be a very a good addition and probably get a lot of folks. And hopefully you'll put in some plugs for our podcast as well.
Of course, of course. You've got to listen to both to get the full experience.
Sure, sure. So in terms of gaming news, things have kind of slowed down a bit in terms of new game releases. I think the last really big game release was actually last week with Far Cry 3, which I had not yet played yet. I don't know. Larry, have you played Far Cry 3 at all yet?
I played about 30 minutes of it. I didn't, because of the aforementioned Christmas decorations.
Yeah.
I didn't get to check much out, but I did. I'm actually playing it on my PC, so I just wanted to see how things were running, how it looked. Nice.
It's really good on PC.
Oh, yeah, I mean, it looked amazing. I was actually kind of surprised. I had read some benchmarks and stuff about how it performed, and it kind of was killing my computer, and not in a bad way. Don't get me wrong. I was still getting about 50 frames per second on the high settings, but when I put it on Ultra, things got to the 30 frames per second area. I was pretty shocked. I'd read reviews online that my card handled it a bit better, so... I don't know if I have to do some tweaking to things. I checked. I have the latest drivers and all that. So,
yeah.
With that said, even on high, it looked fantastic. So,
yeah, I was playing on Ultra, and I get around about 40 frames per second normally on my system, and it looks spectacular. Like, it really looks fantastic. I mean, and I'm a huge fan of the Far Cry series. I love Far Cry 2 a lot, despite the fact that you had to. I remember having to always get those malaria pills all the time. That was a bit of a pain.
Yeah.
But apart from that, I think I'm maybe 7 or so hours in, and there's just so much to do. So much.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's getting tremendously great reviews all around.
Yeah, it's really worth it. It's really worth those reviews.
The only time I haven't played the game yet. Of course, I played a little bit of the co-op. Separate co-op campaign E3 many moons ago. Have you tried any of that, Tim or Larry?
Not at this day. I don't actually have anyone else that on. Well, I'm using Uplay for this, which
would
probably explain why. And holy, I just realized that Sleeping Dogs is downloading a 4 gig patch on Steam at the moment. 4 gig? What? I finished this game ages ago.
That's like the whole game. That sounds like the whole game.
I think the whole game was like 6 gig, and it's now a 4 gig patch. What the hell? Oh, no wonder my internet was going slow.
Well, that is that with Steam?
Yeah, that's with Steam.
Wow, I wonder what they're doing.
Yeah. Anyway, I was saying that
maybe they've got some kind of big DLC thing that you're getting. And
that's what I was thinking.
I'm pretty sure I remember that there was about a 3 gig patch for Sleeping Dogs a couple of months ago, but can I permanently cancel this or something? No, apparently not. Oh well, whatever. As I was saying, with Far Cry 3, I'm not actually using Steam. I'm just using the normal Uplay thing. I don't have any Uplay friends, so I can't co-op with anyone.
All right. Well, it's great to hear that Far Cry 3 is as deep and as graphically beautiful as the first two games in the series. You know, I mean, you always kind of worry, and especially since the original Far Cry was done by Crytek. And then Ubisoft kind of took over Far Cry 2, which I don't think it got a lot of sales at first, but I think it's probably grown on a lot of people that it was a really good game, with some reservations. And now I think Ubisoft's kind of taken the lessons from that game and kind of applied them to this new title, it sounds like.
Yeah, I mean, I think I spent probably about 4 hours or so going around in the North Island or whatever they call it, and just clearing out all the outposts and, you know, climbing up the radio towers to reveal the map and doing little bits and pieces here and there. And, I mean, even though there's a lot of these sort of things you do and you do them one after the other and it can get, you know, a bit tedious, but it's still very, very enjoyable. And I especially like how they don't restrict you to certain things in relation to this story. Like, they basically just chuck you in, and after the first hour or so of play where they introduce you to all the elements, you can just do whatever you want on the island. Like, you don't have to do the missions to unlock new abilities and stuff like that. You basically get all the guns outright. You can start doing all the crafting of your new gun sachets and whatever. Gun sachet? Is that even a thing? I don't think so. Anyway.
Oh my gosh.
Cachet, I think.
Okay, yeah. Cash. Yeah.
Cash.
I think that's a thing, not a sachet. But anyway, Basically, you're just chucked in and you can do anything that you want right from the start. And so basically, I've just left the store and I'm doing all the side stuff at the moment because there's so much side stuff to do.
Well, you actually, the way you're playing it is how Kotaku recommends that you should play it, to go clear, to do all the radio towers and all that first, because it really... One, you get good weapons. Two, you open up the map, like you said. So you're actually playing it the way people recommend you should play it. So,
and the bow. The bow is a great addition.
Cool.
Well, I'll try to play that during the holiday season. That's definitely a very high on my list right now. Especially since I was so disappointed with Call of Duty Black Ops 2. So anyway, there was a little bit more news on the Valve Steam Box front. I don't know if you guys read this a few days ago, but Valve's Gabe Newell was at the Spike Video Game Awards. Apparently, Half-Life 2 won for best game of the past 10 years, so they were there to accept. And they were basically asking, well, so what's the deal with your hardware stuff? And he was basically saying that they're developing a hardware device that they hope to sell in 2013. And be a PC, hook up to your living room television like a console, and it'll have Steam installed, and you'll be able to play games. But the OS will be more controlled. That's what the term. That sounds like it's more like a closed system, like a console system. And he also says that other companies may also sell similar living room PCs with Steam as well. So it sounds like 2013 is going to be a very interesting year, because let's face it, the Wii U will probably not have a lot of traction in terms of next generation consoles in 2013. Yeah. And if Valve can come up with a system that's relatively cheap and can play pretty much any PC game and hook it up to a living room PC, and then get the marketing out there to sell it as kind of a console alternative, who knows what might happen.
Didn't they recently launch their big picture mode for Steam as well? Which
They did.
Yeah, I checked
that out. They actually kind of launched it. they kind of launched it as kind of an open beta in September, and last week they kind of took the beta label off, and now it's official.
Yeah, it's very nice to use, I have to say. So.
Oh, yeah. I love the UI on it. I think it's very cool. I mean, I haven't used it on a big screen TV. I don't know if you have or not, but I have. I've just been using it on my regular PC monitor, and it looks pretty cool.
Yeah, it reminds me of XBMC, the Media Center software that you can get.
Yeah.
Which is great. I guess you could run the two things side by side on your... If you get one of these Steam boxes, it would be great for your living room to be able to, you know, play movies and stuff that you have stored on the hard drive and then just hop right into a game of Far Cry 3 right there.
Possibly. Possibly. And of course, it has that... Valve is definitely trying to get this, you know, this kind of system out there. And they're also working on their Linux plans, which I'm still very skeptical about. I mean, let's just face it. I mean, you know, it's great that they want to support Linux for those folks that have Linux PCs, but let's face facts. Linux is going to remain something that's for hardcore PC enthusiasts and, you know, servers.
Yep.
I just don't see how Linux is going to break free and become a true rival to Mac or Windows. I mean, I just don't see how that's going to happen.
Yeah, I don't know why they're bothering with porting games to Linux when there's so few people that actually use it and then would use it for gaming on top of Windows, which is sort of the default gaming operating system that people should be using. So.
Yep. Which is highly supported, and you know every game developer makes Windows games. If they're making a PC game, they have to pretty much have to make the Windows game.
Yeah.
And I mentioned this in a post on Neowin a few days ago. You know, the Valve has hardware survey on their own. You know that people can opt to send their hardware information to Steam. And their own hardware survey shows that Windows launched a month ago, so is now ahead of Linux and ahead of every single Mac user. You know,
yeah.
And this is so that should tell you something. You know, maybe they should stop complaining about Windows 8 and start working with it.
Yeah, serious.
So I don't know how you guys feel about that.
Yeah, well, I'm not
no, like you said. Yeah, like you said, it's kind of a waste of resources. Sorry to cut you off, Tim.
Oh, that's fine. I was just going to say I'm not surprised Windows 8 is taken over already compared to Mac and Linux. I mean, most people I know that have a Mac don't really game on it, so...
That's true, although I was checking something today. I was checking the Net application, and they do, like, weekly... you know, updates of their own browser software, and they show that Windows 8 for the week of December 2nd is now just above Linux now.
Oh, okay. Well, there you
go. Just above, and just below all the versions of Mac. So I imagine in a few weeks we could see Windows 8 go above that very quickly. So.
Yeah, and you know, I think. Just to touch on the Mac gaming thing real quick, I think more people would game on it if they were better gaming machines. I know I would. Most of my main computing is done on a Mac, but you know, I even have a MacBook Pro, and even having one of the top of the line MacBooks, I mean, I'm lucky if I get 30 frames per second when I put it at a good resolution.
Yeah.
Never mind the fact I have a MacBook Pro Retina, which the display resolution is insane. So if I actually put it to the native resolution of the, you know, of the display, I'm getting like 15 frames per second in games. So
yeah,
you know, it's not for the fact that I wouldn't game on Mac. It's just they're not really great gaming machines.
And that's sure. Always something that I've kind of thought that, you know, Apple has kind of been strange about, because they must know that there is an audience out there for gaming on their Mac PCs. And in fact, you know, years and years ago, you know, when Steve Jobs was still alive and he was doing things like Macworld, you know, he'd bring up John Carmack to show off, you know, the latest Doom engine and things like that in these press conferences. But yet Apple has always had a very standoffish attitude towards games running on their platform. And I have a feeling that if they actually put a little more effort into it and said, this is a great game machine and put in some hardware, they would sell a lot of Mac PCs, you know, more than, I mean, what do you guys think?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I know a couple friends of mine, because I do come from like a graphic design background. They, I know for certain they would buy if, you know, they would game on their Macs if they were more capable. And most of the people I know, we've either tried running Parallels or Bootcamp to get Windows running on a Mac, and you're still dealing with the fact that the graphic cards aren't, you know, the best ones out there. So even though you are, you know, even though we do use these emulator softwares to get Windows, one, we're using a lot of a decent amount of the CPU just to get, you know, the emulation going
to run those things. Yeah.
Right. So it's, you know, they're missing out on a huge market. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah. Maybe now that Tim Cook is in charge, you know, maybe there'll be some changes, but I doubt it.
I mean, it's certainly better than it was a few years ago in terms of the game selection that you have. I mean, you can go into Steam and there's a fairly decent amount of Mac games available. But back, say, 5 years ago, there would have been virtually zero. So,
well, I mean, that's part of the reason is that Valve made a big effort to support Mac games on their own. You know, it wasn't really anything that Apple did. You know, it's what Valve did. And again, it kind of mystifies me that Apple still has this attitude that their machines can't be used as gaming machines. So, I don't know.
Again, it's also more surprising when people are gaming all the time on their iPads and iPhones.
Exactly. I mean,
and they're only really supporting casual games on the Mac App Store.
I mean, iPads and iPhones are huge gaming machines now in terms of casual games, and even hardcore games, you know. Look at Epic Games. They've developed their own Unreal Engine games for the iPhone and iPad, and they're continuing to do so.
You know, what I think would be a huge success is if they dedicated, if they released an iMac that they said was specific just for gaming, where they really souped it up and put in a good graphics card. Because the iMac, it's a beautiful computer. There's no doubt about it. You know, the displays are gorgeous. The 27-inch is one of the nicest-looking computers you could get. If they somehow were able to fit that to where it was comparable to, you know, a medium-high to high-end gaming PC and marketed as such, they could have, I think they would have a huge winner on their hands for sure.
Me too. I think you're absolutely got that right, Larry. I guess Apple knows what they're doing because they're the richest company in the world, and we're not.
Sure.
Yeah. So, but like Tim was saying, I mean, there's a decent. If I go, because my Steam library, you know, it has, I'm able to sort it. Well, no, actually, forget it. Never mind. I'm on my Windows PC. Usually, if I'm on my Mac, I could just choose either my Mac games or my window games. But, I mean, if you go, even if you go to the front store and you go to featured Mac games, there's a decent amount of games now. You know, yeah. I mean, Counter-Strike Global Offensive, that from day one, that supported the Mac. You know, yeah. I mean, right there, they would have people playing it. So, just seems weird.
Yeah, apparently. And there's Call of Duty games that are supported, not the latest ones, but you can still get, you know, previous games. And I believe Borderlands 2 is one of the games that is coming, or has come.
They've announced backwards Borderlands 2. So yeah, we're starting to see that, but it's very slow going and very kind of hit and miss, you know. So, well, you know, we'll see. A few days ago, I mean. You know, we've talked about this in the past, Tim. My game of 2012 would have been BioShock Infinite. They pushed it back to February, and a few days ago they announced again that they pushed it back yet another month to March 26th. Oh my gosh. This had better be a freaking the greatest game ever. That's all I'm going to say.
Well, I know there was a decent amount of people that were really skeptical after that whole gameplay trailer that was debuted at the VGAs.
Yeah. Well,
they said it looked a little too action-oriented, even though Ken Levine did come back out and basically say that there was a very specific reason for that, that the target audience of the VGAs, I believe he referred to them as frat boys.
Yeah, I think he was actually discussing the
cover,
the box cover for Bioshock Infinite, which basically shows a guy with a gun, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
And everyone was like, "What the heck is this? What happened to the really cool designs for stuff?" And he was basically saying, "Look, you know, they kind of went to these, you know, kind of casual gamers and said, 'Have you heard of BioShock?' And he went, 'No.' So they wanted to. They said, 'I guess you would rather have a box cover that would appeal to, you know, the masses rather than, you know, the hardcore gamers who would, you know, perhaps appreciate a more, you know, intricate box cover design.'" And I think honestly that whole debate, internet debate, was way overblown. I can't believe we're actually debating a box cover like that has anything to do with the game inside.
Yeah, exactly. And I thought what he said was dead on. I mean, he said, I forgot what he compared it to. I think he maybe said like people that were really into food or something like that. But he basically said, you know, like, gamers already know that they're going to be getting BioShock. It doesn't matter what the cover looks like. And, you know, he's absolutely right. So, you know, I thought it was pretty silly too. I don't know if Kotaku was the site that first ran the article, but it was where I saw it. And I just thought, you know, it was definitely silly. And, you know, like at the end of the day, I could honestly say it. The only reason I sometimes know game art is because, you know, I happen to see it on like Amazon or something. But for the most part, I probably couldn't tell you what the box art even is for half the games I own.
Yeah, I couldn't.
Yes, it was a silly debate, and again, like I said, it's not going to stop me from buying the game. You know, what's important is that's what's inside the box and not outside. Unless of course it's just like, you know, a box cover that like totally misrepresents the game, you know. And I don't necessarily think that the design for BioShock, if it misrepresents the game, it just shows one aspect of it, you know.
True. I'm actually glad that they pushed the date back, because in February I'll already be playing Dead Space 3 and Crysis 3, and to release BioShock Infinite the next week will just ruin my gaming schedule, not going to lie. So it's good to see that it's pushed back and allow me time to properly finish those two previous games before getting into what could be, as you said, the game of the year for next year.
Hopefully. I mean, unless, Grand Theft Auto 5 turns out to be awesome too.
True. That could be, give it a good run for its money.
That could give it a good run for its money, I have to say. I'm really looking forward to that too, so we'll see about that. Larry, have you played any more of the Wii U?
I've been playing the hell out of Mario.
Oh, cool. What do you think?
Oh, I love it. I've just like it even more now. I really, really, yeah. I mean, it's I cannot complain about the Wii U at all. So far, it's been great for me. The fact that I'm able to play Mario while my wife's watching whatever television she wants, it's been awesome.
Yeah, and have you played any Nintendo Land at all?
Haven't. No.
Okay.
I did download a Nintendo eShop game though. Nano Shooter or something along those lines.
Okay.
I don't remember the name, but it's a fantastic game actually. It's a dual stick shooter. Cool. Yeah, no, it's great, and that supports gamepad play as well. So that's another I don't even need to teach on. So, yeah, I'm digging the Wii U. If they could keep up this, you know, just having one or two good games here and there that support gamepad, then that absolutely extends the life of my video game time. So,
yeah.
I'm all for it. So,
yeah.
I, I can't really say anything negative about it.
Yeah, I will say I've been seeing a lot of Wii U ads on television lately, and one thing that I'm kind of a little concerned about is that they're advertising the television, the TV control systems on the Wii, which are not available yet.
Yeah,
it will be for a little while longer. I find that's a little bit of a misrepresentation on Nintendo's part. So I don't think they should be advertising that, and then the person goes and buys that thing. Oh, I'm going to be able to use that and go, oh, wait, it won't be available for a few more months yet.
Yeah, that's definitely deceptive.
Yeah, I don't think that's a good idea. But I'm actually, hoping maybe I'll buy my own Wii U after the holidays are over, hopefully. So you kind of convinced me to pick one up, and I wasn't really thinking about picking one up, but now I'm thinking about getting one. So
all right.
So well, but again, there's just no way we're able to do it before the end of the holidays, and I know I will probably be able to find one. So.
Well, if you do, I really don't think you'll be disappointed, honestly. As long as you go into it with, the understanding it's not going to be your main console.
Sure.
But there's some pretty good games for it to enjoy.
Sure.
I think you'll actually be pleasantly surprised like I am. I didn't expect all that much, and I have to say it's been better than I thought it was going to be.
Cool. That sounds great. I haven't actually been playing many games in the past couple of weeks. Like I said, I've been busy with other stuff. And but besides Far Cry 3, what else have you been playing, Tim?
It's basically just been Far Cry 3 because, as I said,
okay.
I think for the last podcast, I went on holidays out camping for about a week. So that means no gaming then. But I remembered that as well as when I bought Far Cry 3, I also decided that I'd buy a copy of Assassin's Creed 3 for PC, considering that it came out, I think it was like late last month. And I bought the deluxe edition, which came with all this extra stuff. It also came with the season pass and all this. Now, I didn't buy a box copy. I didn't buy it from the Ubisoft shop, and I didn't buy it from Steam either. So I just had a product key and a download of the game. That all went fine. I could put in my product key and everything, and I could play the game. But it did say, when I put in the code for the deluxe edition extras, that I had to download some DLC thing for the one of the extra missions that I'd got from the deluxe edition. Now, the thing is that I didn't know how to download it. I had been given no instructions. So I thought, okay, I'll have to use the UB support. Turns out they have absolutely no idea what the problem is. It took me around about at least 5 or 6 messages to get them to actually understand what the problem is, including sending screenshots and stuff. Apparently, they'd never seen this issue before. They have no idea how to fix it. Meanwhile, I'm here stuck with my copy of the game with missing features and stuff. And also, the season pass content is starting to come out with the first release was like last week. Now, also, they have no idea how to get that to me either, because apparently, if you get it through Steam, it just downloads through Steam. Or if you get it through the Ubisoft shop, they send you an email with a download link. But for people like me, there's no way to get it, which is, it's completely stupid. The system is entirely flawed for this game. And they just assume that all these things are working, like, oh, it'll just download through Uplay, when actually it doesn't. And I'm honestly shocked at how poorly that they have executed the release of these DLC packs for the game. Because, I mean, even though I haven't played it, I don't know how good these packs are. I still feel like I'm missing the content because I'm not allowed to access it. And I just said to them, why don't you give me the download link that you give people through the Ubisoft shop? Because they send an email with a link and you can just download it through there. I mean, I provided my product key and everything to them. They know I own the game. They know I own the deluxe edition. I don't understand why they can't just send me a link. It's completely stupid, and it's really put me off Ubisoft a little bit, despite the fact they make awesome games.
They make awesome games, but they don't necessarily. But they have a history of having poor support.
Rant. And also, it was really weird. When I gave them my product key, the next thing they sent back to me was in Dutch as opposed to English. I'm like, what?
Oh.
I've sent like five messages in English. Would you just suddenly assume that I speak Dutch for some reason? Oh,
that's weird.
Complete pain. And I had no problems with Far Cry 3 and loads of problems with Assassin's Creed 3. Stupid.
Is somehow the key that you bought Dutch?
I don't think so. I mean, I'm not entirely sure, but as far as I know, I bought an English game. It loaded in English. The downloader was English, so I don't know. Oh, it just puzzles me, and I hope that they can fix it once I finish Far Cry.
Well, yeah, I'm sorry, Tim. I know that's frustrating when you pay money for a game that doesn't work.
I mean, at least I have the actual game working, like the main game. And normally I'm not someone who plays DLC, but I just figured, I mean, I got a season pass included in this. I may as well use it.
Sure.
Yeah, sure. I'm curious to hear what you say, because I'm reading a lot of mixed things about Assassin's Creed. Some people are saying that it's awesome. Some people are saying that it was rushed. And I happened to notice today on Amazon, the gold deal of the day, Amazon does that once in a while, is Assassin's Creed for $33.
Wow.
Yeah. I actually got an email from I'm on, you know, Ubi's mailing list or whatever. I actually got an email stating that it was the gold deal of the day. And that got me thinking, you know, it was just released pretty much and it's already on sale for $33.
Well, I actually noticed this today when I was surfing around. Amazon's actually cut the price of Call of Duty Black Ops 2 by $10 on their site.
Oh, okay.
Normally they wouldn't cut their price, you know, until several months later, but now they're cutting the price by $10.
Wow, so maybe it's just Amazon gets so much stock that they're the one site that's able to do it.
That's possible, but and we can talk about a little bit, that even with the launch of Call of Duty Black Ops 2 and the launch of the Wii U, retail game sales were still down 11% here in the U.S. compared to a year ago. Down 11%.
I think a lot of people are buying online. I really think that they need to update these stats for downloadable games.
Yeah,
and does it count online stores as well? Or is it just brick and mortar stores?
I'm not totally clear. I don't know if the NPD group counts, you know, mail orders from online websites. I don't know if it's just that, if it's just strictly going into a store and buying a game or a console. But anyway, it's, I think I add it all up and it's the retail game industry has taken a hit. And, you know, but as you said, the downloadable game industry is probably doing its best to catch up.
I mean, all the people that I know that game don't use brick and mortar stores. They either would order it online, the physical copy online, or like me and use Steam or something to download it. I know those stats aren't counting. They really should, because there's loads of people buying stuff on Steam these days. I mean,
sure,
there's 4 million gamers online at the moment. And they have a store that they can access at any time.
Yeah. Yeah. And here's something that I thought that was kind of interesting that I read the other day. Gamefly, which is Larry's favorite company. The co-founder of Gamefly was, you know, they were talking to him about season passes, about how these, you know, these companies are trying to put in season passes and special codes so that, you know, when you buy a console game, you have to, you know, get... And you buy a used console game, you have to get a special code in order to get downloadable content and stuff like that, or things like that. And they were asking him, have these season passes or downloadable codes affected your how many people uses your service? And he was basically saying, nope, not really. It hasn't affected them that much.
I will say this. I still use them, obviously, and I still like them, but I've been screwed most recently, I rented PlayStation All-Star, whatever that's called, Battle All-Stars.
Yeah.
I rented that for my Vita, and I couldn't play it online because I needed a code to do so.
Yeah.
So I basically sent it right back because it was more or less useless to me. I mean, you know, the whole point of that game is to play other people. So
that's
one area, that's one time where it screwed me recently. Trying to think, there was another one recently. It was Forza maybe or something. Another game recently, I had pretty much the same exact issue. I didn't have the season pass code, and I couldn't enjoy a pretty big part of the game. So
yeah. These downloadable codes to play online are becoming more and more prevalent, obviously, and you know, forcing people who buy used copies of the game to purchase, you know, to go ahead and pay money to get online. So I'm assuming you didn't. Does the Battle Royale, the Vita, not have a single player mode, or you just weren't interested in playing the game because it didn't have an online multiplayer?
No, yeah, right. It definitely had a single player mode, but to me, like I said, the mode of that game is more or less to play other people. I got into the beta of that game, so I did check it out. And during the beta, you know, I played online the entire time, and that's what I was really looking forward to. So the fact that I really couldn't do it because I didn't have the code was definitely a little off-putting. I opened it up, I put in my Vita, I checked it out, I saw that I couldn't play it because I didn't have the code, I sent it back the next day. So.
Well, I know that's frustrating, but I guess at the same time, these console publishers don't want, you know, people to get a game on the cheap and just have all the features ready to go just a few weeks after the game's been released, you know?
Yeah, no, definitely. I can relate to that. And, you know, in all fairness, if it's been a game I've really wanted to play and I only rented it, I have purchased the season, you know, it's usually $10 to get the season pass. So I have purchased them in the past, but the truth was I wasn't like dying to play that game. This was just like 2 or 3 weeks ago, so I had other stuff to play. So, you know, if it is a game that I'm really dying to play, I have purchased.
Sure. Speaking of the VGAs, going back a little bit, did you guys see that trailer or that they first showed it called The Phantom Pain?
Phantom Pain, yep.
So, what do you got? I don't. Have you seen it, Tim? Have you seen that trailer at all? Have you lost you, Tim?
Oh, oh. Sorry. Someone was just interrupting me. Sorry.
No, that's okay. And we were discussing, have you seen that trailer for the Phantom Pain game that was released a few days ago?
Oh, yeah, the one that's supposed to be Metal Gear Solid 5 or whatever?
Something like that. That no one seems to know anything about, and from a developer that just magically appeared a few days ago.
Moby Dick Studio.
Yeah, and I was reading the NeoGAF thread about how it was supposed to be Metal Gear Solid 5, and they had all this evidence and stuff. And I'm like, people actually spend time debunking things like this. But
it was pretty amazing.
Yeah, it was pretty amazing what they uncovered. But I'm still like, I probably wouldn't spend my time doing this.
Well, I actually posted because I after I'd seen it on the VGAs, because I DVR'd the VGAs, I didn't watch them live so I could fast forward. After I saw it, I decided to make a thread on Neowin about it, and a couple of people responded. And at the time, I had no clue that it was even related to Metal Gear Solid. But
I thought
it had the same look. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, but
when I saw the trailer and then I saw the guy turn his head and look a lot like Solid Snake, I'm like, oh, this is obviously a Metal Gear Solid game.
Yeah, and like within like, you know, basically a couple hours, I saw that thread on NeoGAF as well, and people had already figured out how there was that like negative space in the letters and it formed Metal Gear Solid 5.
Yeah.
And I basically said on Neowin the same thing Tim just said. Like, it's unbelievable, like, the amount of effort people put in online to figure out this type of stuff. You would think, like, cancer was solved already, you know?
Sure.
Like, people put in a lot of effort sometimes when it comes to some pretty, you know, stuff that's not necessarily going to change lives.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They also announced Dark Souls 2, which I know a lot of people are like, oh my God, oh, Dark Souls 2, we're going to be throwing our controllers into the wall again. Because the original Dark Souls was so hard.
I really should play the first one because apparently it's so hard. So.
Yeah, yeah. It's supposed to be very challenging. And, of course, they showed another trailer for The Last of Us, which they also announced a release date of May 7th, which is interesting. It's actually coming out a little earlier than I thought we might get late 2013, but apparently not. We're getting in the spring.
Yeah, well, BioShock's your most anticipated game. That's my most anticipated game.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
And it's GTA 5 for me here, which is also it's surprising that they will put Last of Us right up in the release window that I reckon GTA 5 will come out that
possibly,
month.
Yeah.
So I guess maybe they're thinking that their blockbuster is pretty... I mean, it's a pretty big game. It's a pretty big game, no doubt, but I think putting it up against a title like GTA 5, not that we don't know it'll come out in May, but if it does, it's a big risk.
We'll see. We'll see. I think actually, based on previous releases, it might come out a couple of weeks before Last of Us. So we'll see. I think there might be enough of a space between them so that it'll be all right.
True.
So, it's definitely going to be a very busy next few months after we get over the Christmas holidays. So it'll be like you said, there's Phase 3, the Crisis 3, and BioShock Infinite, and Last of Us, and GTA 5. So that's like five really quality games coming out in the first half of the year. That's pretty good.
Yeah, a lot to play, a lot to play. There's still a lot to play from this year that I haven't even checked out, so...
Yeah,
same here.
That's what these holidays are for.
Yeah, exactly. Definitely.
Yep.
And I guess that's... unless you guys had anything else you guys want to mention at all before we wrap things up?
Just that I did Nano Assault Neo is the name of the Wii U downloadable title.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's an awesome little game. $10. Extremely worth it for $10. So for one person who may be listening that also has a Wii U, I suggest to check it out.
All right. Very good. And next week, I think we'll probably make next week our last podcast of 2012. And we can discuss our favorite games of the year 2012. And I'm sure we'll have a lot to talk about on that score. And but until then, thank you, Larry, and thank you again, Tim, for handling the recording and posting of the podcast, as always.
No worries.
And this is John, and we really appreciate you guys listening, and we will be back next week for our 36th and final podcast of 2012, where we'll talk about our favorite games of the year, and maybe talk a little bit about what we'll anticipate for 2013. And until then, we will see you next week. See you later. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.